So last week we began a new series, four parts, titled Controlling Your Anger Before It Controls You. In this four-part series, we're trying to figure out how do we get control of anger so it does not become destructive in the relationships of the people around us. Now, last week, I'm going to do a little review here. Four truths about anger. We said anger is a normal and natural emotion. God made us. We're made in His image. He can get angry, so can we. Number two, anger is experienced generally when there's a gap between expectation and performance. Whether you expect something of someone else or yourself, and the performance comes in down here, that gap represents frustration, disappointment, and something called anger. Number three, it's what you and I do with that anger that determines whether you control it or it controls you. Now, we talked about volleyball, and when the ball is served back and forth over the net, a volley takes place. The same thing happens when two people get angry. The secret of overcoming destructive anger is somebody in the relationship has to catch the ball. You know what happens? There's no verbal return to match what the person has sent your way. You've got to catch the ball. Number four, we said each person has a pain pocket in their life where we store unresolved anger. Guaranteed, every person here has got a pocket inside them. You know what's in there? Unresolved emotions. One of which is anger. And so we learned last week that God wants to get into the pain pocket of our life and begin to bring healing and understanding to unresolved emotions so that we can be set free of them. So this morning is part two in our series. And the title of today's message is this: Progressive Stages of Anger. Progressive stages of when people, you and me, get angry. Now, in your notes, there's some categories of how people handle anger. Let me just walk through them with you. Some people are a quick trigger. They are quick to respond on anything and everything, and they are always ready to do battle. Here's another one: the silent treatment. When some people get mad, they shut down and go quiet and silent. Number three, a third one, is a pressure cooker. We know that a pressure cooker is an amazing thing, but a pressure cooker person holds it in for a period of time and gets to the point and explodes. Here's another one, a volcanic eruption. Some people just spew it. I mean, if they get in a situation where their emotions get stirred up, they begin to spew on a regular basis. And lastly, the person who's even keel, they can just kind of hold their ground and they stay even keel and they just try and talk through it. So to turn to the person next to you and ask him a question. Which one are you? Go ahead. All right. I see a whole bunch of smiles. You're having a lot of fun with this. So I'm an expert in each one of these. I've made the mistake in each category, so I'm good. You can put me in each one of these, all right? So here's what I want to do today. I want to talk to you about the stages of anger. We're going to use Genesis chapter 4 as our text, but let me walk you through what happens when a person gets angry. All right, number one in your notes. Your anger button gets pushed. Stage one, someone or something upsets you emotionally and the button gets pushed. You could call this a trigger event, a trigger experience. Now read with me in Genesis 4, it's in your notes, about Cain and Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Two brothers brought an offering to God. Cain, it says, worked the soil, and he brought offering of fruits from the soil. Abel brought fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. So two brothers bring an offering to the Lord. One is received with favor, the other is not. And so if you do a deeper dive into this, here's the separator. We find that Cain, who brought the fruits of the soil, brought the offering, and the reason his was not found to be favorable with God is because the heart attitude of the offering was not there. There was a sense of just doing it to do it, whereas Abel brought, we find the fat offerings from his flock, and God found favor with it. So you know what the difference was? One had his heart in it to honor God, the other did not. You know what that tells us? God can always see fake. We just go through the motions, and our hearts are not connected or committed to the bigger picture in our walk. It just shows up very quickly. So we find two brothers, both bring an offering. One found favor, the other did not. Notice the response of Cain. It says, so Cain was very angry. It pushed his button. Not fair, God. Why isn't my offering good enough and my brother's was? You see, everybody here this past week or this, there's the potential to have something push your button. A trigger event in which you're thinking one thing and it performance came down here, in between is a gap, and the tendency is to get angry. So it's a normal response, but let's go to stage two. Stage two then is this. A decision needs to be made between which will prevail, thinking or emotions. Thinking or emotions. Read with me Genesis 4, 6 to 7 in your notes. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But you do not do what is right. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. So when Cain brought his offering and it wasn't found favorable in God's sight, he got angry. And we find here the Lord said this, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. If not, then sin is crouching at your door. The word crouch is an interesting word. It's like it's ready to pounce. You ever seen a cat in a window? They're ready to just leap and lurch. Listen, when we get angry, the emotion of anger is ready to pounce. And the Lord says this, it desires to have you, but you must master it. You must master the emotion that wants to pounce in that conversation. Now, as I thought about this, how do we master it? Let me share some thoughts with how you and I master when we're in that place of tension and we're a little bit angry of whether thinking will prevail or emotions. We got to master it. Let me give you three thoughts. It's in your notes. Letter A. You and I have to guard our hearts. Now, here's what this means. When you get up in the morning, we put on certain mental and we put on inner clothing. We say, God, help me to be loving and kind. And we guard our hearts. You know why? During the day, it's possible that we will run into a person or circumstance that is going to push our button. But if you and I are guarding our hearts, we're prepared for it. Some of the worst times I've had with reacting and becoming angry is when I have an unguarded moment and somebody says something that is negative and it just sets me off. It's unguarded. But if I'm prepared mentally, when I go into a meeting and I've made all the mistakes so I can talk about this, if I'm guarding my heart, it leads to the second point is this. I may be angry, but I have to catch the ball. Which means when somebody says something that sets me off, I got to be careful and guard my heart. I catch the ball so I don't serve it back. You see, escalation happens when two people serve back and forth to the point it just ramps it up each time. Anger has taken root, and we find that is mastering the situation rather than us mastering the anger. So guard your heart. Be prepared. I mean, protect your heart. Letter B, be willing to catch the ball. Letter C, here it is. Whenever you speak, it could be 5 minutes later, half an hour later. Maybe you got to back off so you don't blow. Whenever you speak, speak when you're under control. Some of the worst mistakes I've ever had, when I've responded to someone and my emotions are not under control. It's destructive, it can be hurtful, but so work at always staying in control whenever you decide to speak. So guard your heart, be willing to catch the ball in a heated conversation, and when you do speak, stay in control to communicate what you need to say. And we just don't bottle it up and leave it there. We do need to express ourselves at times, but always remember, do it when you're under control. So here's what Paul said. In your anger, do not sin. So what happened to Cain? Here's what happened to him. He had his button pushed. He had a trigger event, and he got upset. And at that point, he had to make a decision of whether thinking would prevail or his emotions. We have the same challenge. And when emotions take over, here's what happens. We cross a line of being rational because we're so upset, and all of a sudden the emotion controls us, and we speak out of our emotion rather than out of good thinking. But if we can keep in mind, hey, I'm not going to say that, although I'd like to, and we hold back a little bit, thinking prevails rather than emotion. So with Cain, he crossed the line, and his emotion got a hold, and he reacted and acted on that emotion. Here's what happened. Let's go to stage three. It says, your emotions take over, and you react. You react. Read with me verse 8 in your notes. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So here's it. He crossed the line. The emotions got control of him, and he ended up murdering his brother. This is an extreme example. There's another example like this in the scriptures. His name is Moses. He killed an Egyptian in an attempt to deliver the children of Israel, and in the heat of rage and anger, he killed somebody. He spent 40 years in the desert, and God reworked his heart, and God made him a great leader. But the point is this, there's huge consequence when we cross the line and do life acting and reacting in our anger. Now, God help us, we never kill a person, but let me tell you, when you and I cross the line in our relationships with the people around us, You know what it does? It begins to damage relationships. Maybe in marriage or even with kids. I mean, once in a while we may blow and so forth, but if it's repeated, you know what happens? It's like a bridge being sabotaged, and it blows it up. It literally erodes the foundation of the relationship. And so, wow, we have to be on guard that we don't cross the line. And through God's grace, we can find forgiveness and start fresh. But here's the deal. If you and I can protect the anger factor with other people, it'll bless our relationships with others. Because when we minimize that whole piece of crossing the line and blowing up, when we get better at it and do it less often, let me tell you, it blesses the relationships of all the folks around us. And that's what God wants to do for us. So number one, stage one, your butt gets pushed. Number two, a decision has to be made. Is it, am I thinking it and staying in control? Or do I my emotions take control? And then stage three, when emotions take over, we react and say and do stuff we wished we wouldn't have. I want to conclude with a verse, Galatians 5:22. Let's read it in your notes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Circle the last fruit. It's called self-control. Here's the deal. Self-control is like a muscle. And the muscle needs to be developed and strengthened so that we can have greater control when we get angry. And when Jesus is in our life, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, God, help me to develop self-control so that the muscle of how I act and react when I'm angry, I just get more sense of stability and control in my life. That's what he wants to do for us. But it's a muscle that needs to be developed. So as you think about your own life, we're going to close in prayer. And here's what we're going to I want you to figure out in the intro, what kind of responder are you when you get angry? And then we're going to walk through these stages, and I want you to make a commitment to God and to yourself that your muscle will be developed so that you have greater self-control in this anger. Let's bow for heads bowed, eyes closed. Just think a moment and say, wow, how do I respond when my button gets pushed? Silent treatment, quick trigger, pressure cooker, even keel. I mean, we're all in here somewhere. But think about it. Stage two. As you prepare for this week, I want you to think about how can you guard your heart and be careful to catch the ball to stay in control when you speak. I want you to make a commitment to God and to yourself. God, help me with greater self-control in the heat of the battle. Go deep inside yourself and just take a moment and say, God, help me in this area. And stage three is when emotions take over and you react. When we can do that less and less in our life, the muscle of self-control is growing stronger and developing within us. That's our goal. And that's what God wants to do for us. Father, I pray for every person here, including myself, that you'll help us develop this muscle. This self-control muscle, that when the emotion of anger surges within us, you will help us to catch the ball and to remain in control when we speak so that, God, you can bless the relationship more and more going forward. So, Lord, for every person here, just give us that sense of commitment and strength and power through the Holy Spirit to be the bigger person, to be the one that catches the ball, and the person who holds it really wins in the end because they're under the Spirit of God who gives us self-control. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.